It's Pentecost Sunday, so we're believing for a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit today. Let's be expectant. Let's be expectant that God wants to do something amazing in our lives. Every time we gather, every time we worship, whenever we hear the word, whenever we pray, we need to have a sense of expectation.
Yeah.
What does God want to speak to me today? What does God want to do in my life today? If you don't have that sense of expectation, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to create in your heart a real hunger and thirst and expectation that today, on Pentecost Sunday, He wants to impart something significant into your life.
Yes.
What is that? What is the treasure that the Spirit wants to impart through the Word of God? What does He want to speak to you? What healing or activation, or what does He want to deposit into your life today?
Deposits.
If we don't have an expectation, then often we will miss what God has for us. It's that hunger, it's the thirst that really allows us to receive the greater things of the Holy Spirit. So just before Hillary prays and she wants to read a scripture, I want to make an announcement. Do you have the posting ready to go, Graham? You may have already heard, but we're going to be doing a course in England starting June 8th, which is a week Monday. It'll be at 8 o'clock at night, and it runs for 4 weeks. It's called Freedom Encounter. It should be up on your screen right now, and there are the topics. We're going to be talking about greater freedom in Jesus Christ. The power of the cross, the love of the Father, the importance of forgiveness, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may have already had teachings on these topics, but we want to go deeper.
Yes.
But it's not just about the teaching, even though the teaching is very, very important. We want to hear the Word of God because God's Word has power.
Yes.
But we also want to give you an opportunity to receive deeper from the Lord, to come into greater freedom and greater life through Jesus Christ. And so there's going to be the teaching, but then there's going to be a time of response where we pray for you and lead you in prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to come and to go deep into areas of your life that He wants to bring greater freedom to. So if that's you and you have a greater hunger for more freedom, to maybe you have a greater hunger to get into the call and the destiny that Jesus Christ has for you. Maybe you have a desire to learn these messages so that you can begin to teach them and impart them to other people. I believe with all my heart that if you come expecting great things from God in this freedom encounter, that God is going to do transforming work in your life. So I want to encourage you to register. What you need to do is you need to send us an email, which is on this advertisement, but also Graham, have you sent out this already, Graham, or are you going to be sending it out?
Sorry, lost the cursor for a minute. I sent it out to our WhatsApp group, but I'm going to send it out further afield.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So you're welcome to send this advertisement on to anyone you know. And what they need to do and what you need to do, though, is send us an email. All you need to say is, we want to attend the Freedom Encounter course. And then we will send you an email which registers you, and then we will send you a link 1 day before the course every week, and you'll be able to come on to it. So I encourage you to come, invite your family, invite your friends, and invite people of other countries if the time zones work. So that's 8 o'clock, Monday nights, starting June 8th. You're all welcome to attend. So the Lord bless you. Now, Hillary just wants to read a scripture and say a prayer.
Yeah, Lord, thank you that we're in your presence. We're one in Christ.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for Psalm 27, verses 4 through 8. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my mind to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in the tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on the rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. Amen. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. So I just want to pray, and if you haven't muted your volume, if you don't mind just muting right now, because we're just going to pray, and then Scott, over to you in a moment. But Lord, thank you. We just hunger for you. Just yes. Join me in prayer, guys. We just hunger and thirst for you. There's so much more that we can have of you, Lord yes. God, and we are seeking to be with you. Lord, help us. Just teach us how to gaze, how to look upon your beauty, Lord God. Mm. Lord God, thank you. You are our protector. Yes. We declare that in the day of trouble, you will hide us in the secret place of your presence.
Amen.
Yeah, let's just declare that over our families. Just lift up your hand if you feel led to do that. But we declare that in the day of trouble, you will hide our families in the secret place of your tent, in the secret place of your presence. That's verse 5. Father, you're the one that lifts our heads above our enemies. Lord, you lift us up above the demonic realm. You lift us up, and Lord, our eyes can be fixed on you. Not on what the enemy's doing, but on you alone, Lord God. And so we fix our eyes on you, not on how dark it is out there, but we worship you. We worship you, Lord God Almighty. And we lift up your name right now. Just lift up the name of Jesus over your mind and over your emotions, over your very life. Oh, we lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus in our house right now. Just declare the lordship, the control of Jesus over our homes, over the spiritual realm, over our homes right now, and over our neighborhoods. Move in, Holy Spirit. Move in to our neighborhoods. Just declare it. Just cry out. Invite the Holy Spirit to roll into your neighborhood. Oh, so roll in, Holy Spirit. And we are praising you, Lord, with whispers of joy, with shouts of joy. We are praising. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We are worshiping you, Lord. Thank you that you hear our cries. We're just going to continue just to declare that the Lord hears our cries. And if you've just joined us, I just want to invite you to come into the presence of God. And also, if you don't mind muting your microphone right now, because we're just, Lord, thank you. You hear us when we cry.
Amen.
Lord God. And when you said, seek my face, Lord, our hearts said, your face we will seek. Show us, Lord, your glory today.
Yes.
Lord, pour out your glory upon us, upon our families. Yes. Yes, just as the Holy Spirit's coming, he's reminding me of the word sweetness, because his word is so sweet like honeycomb, and he's the one that sweetens us. And Lord, thank you. You take all the sourness out of our hearts, all the bitterness you take out, and Lord, you sweeten us with the honey of your word, with the sweetness of your presence.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray now that you would open your word to us.
Yes.
I pray that you would encourage us today, yes, and empower us, Lord, and let our faith grow, Holy Spirit, for all that you want to accomplish in us and through us.
Amen.
We give you thanks and praise for everything you've done, for everything you are doing, and everything you will do. We thank you now, Lord.
Yes.
You are good, yes, and your love endures forever. Yes. And we praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Wow, praise the Lord. It's good to be with Oasis Church and any visitors today. It's always wonderful to gather in the name of the Lord and hear his word. I'm really excited about what God has been doing in Hillary and I's life during this COVID crisis, really. And he's really been blessing us. He's really been expanding, multiplying, as it were, our ministry, our efforts. And I believe with all my heart that that's what he wants to do in all of our lives. He wants to multiply through his power and his authority what we are able to do. You know, when we hear the call of God, we should never look at what we have or what we can do, how much money we have or how much education we have or how much ability we have. Everything we do for God is all about his ability to multiply through us his power and his will. And that's what we want to talk about today. I actually want to talk today from the feeding of the 5,000 and how Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread to feed thousands of people. Actually, the scripture says it was 5,000 men plus women and children. So we're probably talking at least 20,000 people that were fed through five loaves of bread and two small fish. And that is what God wants to do through your life. Maybe not the exact same miracle, but a miracle of multiplication. So today's Pentecost Sunday, and we're thankful for the Holy Spirit. You know, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And what will this power enable us to do? Well, it will enable us to be witnesses, God's witnesses. Now, what does a witness do? Well, a witness tells what he has seen or heard. That's what a witness does, or what they've experienced. They tell others. And that's what we're called to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be witnesses. And we can be witnesses of God's love, God's power, God's message, God's goodness, God's kindness. We can be witnesses of the totality of the kingdom of God coming into us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what God wants to do today. So I believe with all my heart, God wants to encourage you today. And God wants you to think in terms of how he can multiply your lack and use it to minister to many, many people. So let's look at that story. It's found in Matthew chapter 14, and Jesus is talking about feeding of the 5,000. Now, there are two stories of miraculous feeding of large groups of people. One is found here in Matthew chapter 14, and in the very next chapter, it talks about the feeding of the 4,000. Now, these are two distinct events, and I just want to talk about them for a moment. So why the two stories, and why so close together in the scripture? Well, when Jesus here in Matthew chapter 14 is feeding the 5,000, it is a primarily Jewish audience. And after they feed the 5,000, when Jesus miraculously multiplies the bread and the fish, what happens? Well, the apostles then collect 12 baskets of food that is left over. Now, what is Jesus saying there? Well, we know that in the nation of Israel, there are 12 tribes, 12 nations within the nation. And what Jesus is saying there is this, that my broken body, which is what's happening, which is what is being signified in this story when Jesus breaks the bread. He is saying that in not too long, my body will be broken and my death and resurrection will be able to feed all the 12 tribes of Israel. The bread that I am going to give through my death and resurrection will be sufficient for the salvation of all the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, Jesus is saying there's more than enough. There's more than enough for all of my people, the Jews, to be fed with my body that is going to be broken on the cross. Jesus is sufficient. So that's the story in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus feeding the 5,000, which is, and he's talking to and feeding primarily a Jewish audience. So it is a prophetic symbol that he's giving when he collects and fills 12 baskets filled with the leftovers. Now, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is primarily talking to a Gentile audience. So most of the 4,000 people that have come to listen to him at that moment were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And once again, he multiplies the bread and the fish and he feeds thousands of people. But this time, they don't collect 12 baskets of leftovers. They only collect 7 baskets of leftovers. So what's the difference? What do the 7 baskets of leftovers signify in this story? Well, when the Jewish people went into the land of Canaan in the book of Joshua, they found that in the land that God had given them, in the promised land, there were 7 Gentile nations already living there. And so what Jesus is saying in the collecting of enough food to fill 7 baskets in this story, he's saying this, that my death, my broken body will be enough for all of the Gentile nations. So in 2 stories back to back, Matthew 14 and Matthew 15, the feeding of the 5,000 and then the 4,000, Jesus is saying this, my broken body is enough to feed the whole world. My death and my resurrection will be sufficient for the salvation of men and women and children from every tribe and every tongue and every nation on the face of the earth. There will be plenty of my spirit and my power and my love and my salvation going to all the nations on the face of the earth. That's the power of these 2 stories. Now, the amazing thing is this. When we read this story, we're going to see Jesus broke the bread. That is a prophetic symbol of his broken body. And then he gives the bread, his broken body, to his disciples to distribute. And as they distribute them, he symbolically is multiplied through the whole world, all of Israel and all of the Gentile nations. And that is the call of God for our lives, signified in these 2 chapters. In their weakness, as we're going to see, Jesus multiplied his power, which they could give away, and people would eat and be satisfied and have life, because they partake of Jesus Christ through you. In your weakness, Jesus wants to be multiplied. So that's what this story is about. God multiplying himself through you in your weakness. We're going to see what the Lord wants to say to us about that today. So let's read this passage. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 13 to 21. Matthew 14, 13 to 21. It says this. So just before this, John the Baptist had been beheaded. We know that John the Baptist, Jesus said, was the greatest prophet to ever live. And he was also a close friend of Jesus. So then it says this in verse 13. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it is already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. And Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up into heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And the number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. So we're talking probably 20,000 plus people were fed by this miracle of Jesus. So what's happening here? Well, John the Baptist has just been beheaded, and Jesus is trying to find a place by himself. He's grieving, he's tired, he's ministered a lot, but the people won't leave Jesus alone. They've heard about the miracles. They've heard about his great messages and the power that he has and the authority that he has. And so they're following him all around. He can't escape them. And now the crowds are swelling like never before. Tens of thousands of people gathering here in the open wilderness to receive from Jesus, and Jesus is healing them. But it's getting late and the disciples are worried. Lord, this is a lot of people. What are we going to do? It's getting late. They're hungry. Now the disciples come up with what appears to be a really great idea. They say, let's send them home before it gets dark so they can buy some food. Now that's a reasonable solution, isn't it? If I heard that, I would have said, Jesus, that's a great idea. Let's let them go now. They'll get home before it's dark, and they'll be able to buy food and have their dinner. But what does Jesus say? Jesus looks at the disciples, and he says this, you feed them. You feed them. Now, what if Jesus said that to you in the same situation? What would you think? Well, the first thing you might think is, that's a really dumb idea because I don't have enough. I don't have any food. I don't have any ability. How am I going to feed 20,000 people? I'm weak. I lack. I don't have the resources, Jesus, to do what you're calling me to do. Maybe you've said that to Jesus. Maybe you've said to Jesus, Jesus, I'm just not strong enough. I don't have the ability. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I don't have the energy. I don't have the time to do what you're calling me to do, Jesus. Well, that's what the disciples were thinking. Now, what we see here is this. The disciples saw a need. There are needs everywhere, all around you, every day, especially during this pandemic. There are needs right in your household. There are needs with your neighbors. There are many, many needs that can be met. And what we know is this, is that the actual need is not the call. And so when needs are presented to us, we have to know if these are the needs that God wants us to meet. But there are a lot of needs. And every single need that God calls you to meet is impossible for you. So God brings the call with the need. So what about you? What are the needs around you right now? What are the needs in your family? What are the needs in your own life? What are the needs that God is calling you to meet? Because we want to be those who are led by the Holy Spirit. We want to be those who respond to the call of God in our lives. But every need that God calls us to meet is impossible for us. You see, the need that the disciples saw, what did that do? It exposed their own need, didn't it? It exposed their lack. It exposed their inability. But Jesus says to them, you do it. That's what Jesus is going to say to all of us. I want you to do it. I want you to pray for that person. I want you to encourage them. I want you to share the gospel with them. I want you to bring them some food. I want you to meet their need. And you might say, like the disciples said, we don't have enough. But God provides the means. That's what I want to talk about today. Pentecost Sunday, the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in you and to flow through you to meet any need, to accomplish anything that God is calling you to do. No matter how impossible it seems to you, God can do it because God wants to multiply your ability. God wants to multiply your lack. He wants to multiply your weakness. He wants to give you what you don't have in order to minister as he's called you to minister. Some of you know our testimony. Almost 20 years ago now, my wife and I were sitting in our church, and John Arnott, who was our senior pastor at one time, he was preaching on Peter, stepping out of the boat and stepping onto the water with Jesus. And as soon as he said that, the Lord said to me, he said, Scott, I want you and your wife, both of you, to leave your jobs on July 1st. And I'm going to lead you in a mission to go all over the world and preach and teach my word to many, many different people. And the first thing I thought was, this isn't God. Because this is impossible. There is no way that this could happen. How are we going to live? No one knows about us. We don't have any open doors. We don't have any training for this. We've never done anything like this before. How could this possibly happen? And so I thought, well, I've got to test this. I thought, who are the most rational pastors I know? And so we had friends, maybe you know them, Jeremy and Connie Sinnott. They were the first worship leaders of Catch the Fire. And they were our really good friends. We've actually known them for about 32 years. And I thought, Jeremy, of all people, he's going to look at me right in the eyes and say, this isn't God, Scott. It's not time yet. You've got to train more. You've got to be ready more. And so the very next Sunday, we met with him, Jeremy and Connie. We sat down with them. They're our pastors. They were our cell group leaders at the time, worship leaders at the church. And so we shared with them what we believed God was saying to us. Both of us would leave our jobs on July 1st. God would open doors miraculously for us to travel all over the world, preach the gospel, teach people, bring healing. We looked right in their eyes and we said that. And they pondered it for a moment. And then Jeremy looked right at me and he said, this is God. This is God. He's calling you into this very thing. And just like the disciples, I began to give alternatives to God. Like, what happens if I just left my job, Lord? And Hillary continued to work for a season. That seems more reasonable. And the Lord said, no, both of you go. I will multiply you. I will meet the need. I will do the impossible. What about you today? What is God saying to you? What need is he calling you to meet? You might find a lot of reasons why you can't do it. There might be a lot of very rational reasons why this isn't a good idea. Just like the disciples said, Lord, here's a better idea. Send them home. But Jesus said, no, I want to show them my power, and I want to show you, my disciples, that no matter what your lack is, no matter what your weakness is, I can do all things. There is nothing too difficult for me. That's what I want to say to you today. There is nothing too difficult for God. In your lack, he will multiply your ability. In your weakness, he will be strong. What is it that God is saying to you? When you hear the voice of God, when you hear the call of God, don't let the first thing you think of be your lack and your inability. Don't determine God's will and God's call for your life through your lack, through your weakness, through your inability, through your lack of money or education or training or strength. Don't believe the lie that because you're suffering physically, that God can't do something amazing. Don't believe the lie that because you're struggling in your relationships, that God can't use you in a big way. Don't believe the lie that because you don't have a lot of education, God doesn't have big plans for your life. It's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do in you and through you for the glory of his name. That's what God wants to do. He wants to show his power in weakness. He wants to show his glory in your life. How does God display his glory? Well, the glory of God is the difference between what God calls you to do and what you can actually do in your own power. The glory of God is God's ability to do great things through you, and other people will see it, and they will say, that's impossible. And you'll point them to the Lord, and you will say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that is what the disciples were learning. And so Jesus looks right at them, and he says this, you feed them. Now, what do they do? Well, they look around. Is there any food? And the Gospel of John tells us that they find a little boy, and they steal his lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they take it to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, this is all we have. 5 loaves, 2 small fish. Surely we have to send them home. This is it. What does Jesus say? Jesus says the key. He says this, bring them to me. Give them to me. I want to say this. That is the key to your life. Where Jesus will come to you and say, give me your lack. Give me your weakness. Give me your inability. Bring them to me. That is the key to the Christian life. Whatever you don't give to Jesus, he cannot multiply. But whatever you surrender to Jesus, he will multiply and use for his glory. Let's not withhold. Let's not keep things back from Jesus. Your greatest pain, your greatest wound, your greatest fear, your greatest lack, your greatest inability, I want to encourage you today, bring them to Jesus and see him take them and multiply you in spite of your lack to feed many, many people with Jesus, with his message, with his power, with his ability. That is the Christian life. The Christian life is not what you can do. It's not your strength, your ability. It's God's ability and God's strength right in your weakness. The disciples were amazingly weak. They spent 3 years with Jesus, and all the way to the end, they still had not figured out why Jesus had come to earth. They were still not able to understand. Even in the garden, Peter pulls out his sword, ready to defend Jesus. They still had not caught the message. They were really weak. They were unable. But Jesus says to you today, give it all to me. Hand it over to me. I will multiply your weakness and your lack to do amazing things. And that is the very thing that God was saying to me in church almost 20 years ago. He said, Scott, I'm calling you to do this. And the very first thing I said was what the disciples said. I can't do it. I won't have any money. I don't have the experience. I don't know how to do it. No one knows me. There are no opportunities, God. And what did Jesus say to me? He said this, Scott, bring it to me. Give it to me. That is what the Lord is saying to all of us today. Are you suffering physically today? Bring it to Jesus. Are you suffering in your heart today with a wound? Bring it to Jesus. Are you suffering in your mind today, maybe with confusion or something in your thoughts? Bring it to Jesus. Maybe you're struggling in your family today. Maybe with a spouse or a child or a parent or someone, and there's something going on. Bring it to Jesus. Bring your financial lack to Jesus. Bring your worry and your fear and your longings and your wonderings and your unanswered questions. Bring your discouragements and your regrets of the past. Bring them to Jesus. Don't hold on to them. Because if you hold on to it, Jesus cannot take it and multiply it and use it for his glory. Bring it to Jesus today. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that very thing, because I want to say over each and every one of you today, nothing is impossible for God. Can you let that message go into your heart? That God will make a way where there is no way. That in the very impossible things of your life, whether it's your present circumstances or your future calling, God will make a way if you surrender to him. If you say the very things the disciples said, we can't do it, Jesus. We don't have enough. Just 5 loaves and 2 fish is not going to feed 20,000 people. And Jesus just said one thing, bring them to me. That's what he's saying to you today. Will you do it? Will you bring all of that stuff to Jesus today and trust him for the future? The thing is, we're not wise enough or strong enough or rich enough to accomplish all that God wants to do. We just can't do it. But God can do it. And when Jesus took the loaves and the fish into his hands, he says he looked up to heaven and he prayed to the Father. And then he took the loaf, symbolizing the broken body, his broken body on the cross, and he broke it. And in that one act, he said, this will do it. This will do it. My body broken will feed the nations of the world. It will be sufficient for you. And I will multiply my death and my resurrection and my spirit in you and through you as you bring it to me. I can do all things. This is one of the greatest passages in Scripture. Such a powerful demonstration of what God wants to do through his disciples who are very weak and unable. And so what does Jesus say next? He breaks the bread. He's broken his body. And he says this, now you go and feed the people. Take it. Now you can imagine, it's not been multiplied yet, has it? It's just been broken. And he gives it to each one of his disciples. And he says, now go, look at the crowds. They're hungry. 20,000 people. Imagine 20,000 people are standing in front of you and you've got 1/8 of the loaf and maybe half of a fish. And you have to go out and feed thousands of people with what's in your hand. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? And so the disciples went out, and as they were giving it away, out of the act of obedient faith, triggered the multiplying power of the Holy Spirit. It triggered the power of God in their lack. See, two things. They gave it to Jesus. They gave their lack to Jesus. And then in their lack, by faith, they obeyed Jesus. So they surrendered their lack. And in the power of God, they stepped out in their lack. And when they did it, surrender and obedient faith, even in their extreme weakness, what did God do? He multiplied it. He multiplied it. And he fed every single person, 20,000 plus, with food to spare. And they could take as much as they want and eat as much as they want. Could you imagine? This is one of the times you want to be there, right? You want to see this happening. Would you have done it? Would you have stepped out? It's easy to say we would have because we've got the ending of the story now. But right there, right at that time, and Jesus is saying, now go and do it. And then as they did it, wow, what's going on? How can this happen? It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of Pentecost that was going to come. All of it was foreshadowing the death and the Pentecost, the sending out the Great Commission, giving away Jesus, feeding Jesus to the nations in our lack and in our weakness. These disciples, God doesn't love them any more than he loves you. They are not empowered any more than you're empowered. Where is the Holy Spirit? He's inside you. Right now, the Holy Spirit of the living God lives in you. And that means this. That means you can do all things that God calls you to do. But there will be no multiplication in any of our lives unless we first bring it and surrender it and then step out in faith. It's not easy to do, but you can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. That means you can meet every need God puts in front of you. Not in your way, not with your wisdom, not with your logic. So you have to surrender that. You have to give up your good ideas and enter into God ideas. And allow the ideas of God and the power of God and the multiplication of God to fill you and flow through you. Then you can feed the nations. You can feed your own soul by faith first. You can feed your family and your friends and your churches. And maybe, God willing, even beyond. I'm going to say to you right now, there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing in your life right now that can stop God if you choose to bring it to him. Can you believe that? Because that is what this story is teaching us. Right now, God wants to use you to do the impossible. God wants to multiply through you. That's what happened in our ministry. Hillary and I, some of you, you know us better than others, but Hillary and I, we cannot do anything that we are called to do in our own strength. How in the world do we get people from Myanmar and Thailand and Mexico and even England to even know about us? It's impossible. And so what did we need to do? Jesus said to us these one words, bring it to me. Bring the impossibility to me. Also, God, we don't have any money. Bring it to me. We don't know how to do it, God. How do we arrange these trips? Bring it to me. What messages am I going to preach? Bring it to me. I will do all things when you surrender, and then in your weakness, step out in faith. Every single time you will see the multiplying power of God in you and through you for the glory of his name. That's good news, isn't it? So what about you today? What is the Lord speaking to you? What are the impossible things that Jesus is calling you to do right now in your present circumstance? Starts here today. What's going on in your families? What's going on in the world around you? You need to look. You need to ask Jesus, and you need to say, Jesus, what are you calling me to do? When he speaks, don't listen through your lack, but surrender your lack. When he tells you to go, don't listen through your lack. Step out in faith, and he will strengthen you to do all things. And so now, almost 20 years later, Hillary and I have been to many, many nations. We travel often for 6 months of the year. We have never, ever had one bill we've never been able to pay. Hundreds of thousands of dollars in airfares and hotels and food on top of our living. We don't have a church that pays us a salary or anything like that. We're not tooting my horn here. I'm telling you, I'm not able to do it. I'm tooting God's horn. I'm saying nothing is impossible for Jesus. Nothing is impossible for Jesus. So what is he asking you to believe for? Maybe very simply, he's just asking you to believe that he can heal you, that he can restore your heart, or that he can heal your marriage, or that he can heal your relationship with your children or a friend. Or maybe he's asking you to believe for a job, financial provision. Whatever it is, you can't do it. And so right now, what do we need to do? We need to come and bring it to Jesus. Surrender it to him. Because until we surrender it, he cannot multiply it. Whatever you hold on to, God can't use, God can't heal, God can't empower. Whatever you hold on to, bring it to Jesus, and then he will enable you to step out in faith. That's good news, isn't it? And that is what the Lord wants to communicate with us today, and that's a lot of what we're going to be talking about in our Freedom Encounter course. Getting ourselves free so we can step out and live the life that God has called us to live. Today's the day. Now's the time. Incredible things are happening in the world. But God has a plan. It's already begun. And he wants it to include you. He wants to include you in his great work wherever you live. And maybe even in other nations, because nothing is too difficult for God. And so I just want to end, just before we pray, by quoting the one passage in Matthew chapter 10. We all know it. Jesus said to his disciples this, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. That's our lives as Christians, that we give away to others what we have received from God. But what's the key there? The key is this. You can only give away what you possess. You can only give away what you've received. And that is why Jesus wants to fill your lack, so that you can give away to others the precious grace and power and truth of the living God. Freely you've received today, freely you can give. What do you possess inwardly, or maybe outwardly, that God wants you to give away by the power of the Holy Spirit? What do you lack that God wants to fill so that you possess something more that he wants you to give away? What about you today? What do you need to bring to Jesus? What lack, weakness, wound, discouragement, worry, fear, whatever it is, what do you need to bring to Jesus today and say, Jesus, multiply it. My life is for you. What is it? Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to bring it to Jesus again. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to surrender it to him and say, Jesus, this is my declaration. Yes. As I give it.
Yes.
It will not hold me back. Mm-hmm. It will not inhibit you. Nothing is too difficult for you. It's my declaration as it leaves my hands. You will use it and multiply it, and I will do greater things because I've surrendered it. Let that be your declaration as you hand over your greatest weakness, your greatest lack to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. And then hear him say to you, as soon as you've surrendered it, now go. Go. And meet the need that I have put in front of you with my abundance, with my strength, with my power. That's who you are, and that is what you will do for the glory of Jesus. Do you believe it today? Do you believe this word that God has spoken to you here in Matthew chapter 14? Then I want to give you an opportunity right now to respond to what you've heard, because we don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. We don't just want to hear the word. We want to encounter the word and let it fill us and transform us. That is what God wants to do right now. So I want to give you an opportunity to ask God, Lord, what do you want me to surrender to you? What lack do you want me to give you right now so that you can multiply my life for your glory? What I want you to do right now, just quietly where you are, just before we pray, is I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what am I holding on to? What lack, what weakness, what wound do you want me to bring to you right now? Just ask him. Is it a physical struggle? Is it an emotional struggle? Is it a financial struggle? A relational struggle? What is it? Holy Spirit, speak to your children, I pray. Speak to us today. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to do what the disciples did and bring these things to Jesus. And I want to lead you in that prayer. It's It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of relinquishment. It's a prayer of really handing it over in the depths of our hearts.
Yes, Lord, help us.
So that Jesus, in his power, can use it and multiply it. Yes. Let's do that now. What I want you to do is I just want you to pray right where you are, just out loud after me. And during this prayer, I'm going to give you an opportunity to name the things that you are surrendering to Jesus. And when you name them, when you speak them out, I just want to encourage you at that very moment to really let them go. Say, Jesus, I can't do it, but you can. I give it to you. So let's do it now. Let's pray together. Just pray out loud after me, and let's truly give them to Jesus. Let's pray together now. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I come to you now.
I'm coming to you now.
I'm coming in all my weakness.
Coming in all my weakness.
I come to you in my lack.
I come to you in my lack.
And I choose to surrender today.
And I choose to surrender today.
I bring to you all those things in my life that have been holding me back.
I bring to you all those things in my life which have been holding me back.
I choose now to surrender them to you.
I choose now to surrender them to you.
Now what I want you to do is I want you to name the things that you're giving to Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Just name them.
Praise you, Lord.
And as you do it,
yes,
let them go.
Thank you, Father.
Just see Jesus taking them from you, just like he took the bread,
yes,
from the disciples.
Yes, Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yes. Don't hold on to them anymore.
Yes, Lord. Praise you.
God can only empower the things we surrender. Come, Holy Spirit.
Ooh, yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, give us grace to surrender.
Yes.
Give us grace to surrender. Give us grace to surrender, Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you now for everything that every one of your children have given you right now. I thank you that you have taken them.
Yeah, the little lunch that we have.
Just that little bit that we can give you, Lord.
Yeah.
I thank you that you have taken it.
Yeah, thank you.
Just by faith, see it in the hands of Jesus now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not something that you have to carry anymore. It's not something you have to be concerned about or worried about. It's in the hands of Jesus.
Yes.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oof.
Yes, you have the power, Lord, to multiply. You
yes.
have the power to take our lack.
Yes.
To take our weakness.
Amen.
And to show yourself strong.
Thank you, Lord.
You have the power to take the gifts that you gave us and actually bring your anointing.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, open our eyes to your possibilities and your ways.
Amen.
Your ways.
Yes, Lord.
Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, with faith.
Amen.
Lord, help our default not to be self-sufficiency and the arm of the flesh, but help our default to be, Lord, here's my lack.
Yes.
Here's my weakness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here are two little dried up fish. Multiply now, Lord. Help. Multiply.
That's right. And so, Father, I pray now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would come and again fill us with your spirit, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Fill us with the multiplying,
pour out,
healing,
Lord.
Restoring power
pour
of your
out.
Glorious spirit.
Oof. Pour out, Lord.
Filling us now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep coming, Lord.
Yes.
More.
Oh. Yes, Lord.
Hmm.
Father, thank you that when it comes to our weaknesses, Lord, you're coming now.
Amen.
And being a tower of strength.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, where you on purpose call us to do things we can't do. Lord, you just do that so frequently where we're like freaked out and why would God call me to do this? But Lord, you specialize in feeding 5,000 just from two little fish and some bread.
Amen.
And so, thank Father, we are agreeing with you and I am declaring multiplication right now over each person's life and family.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh,
multiplication of faith.
Yes.
Multiplication of vision. Multiplication of the blueprints of how to do things, of the steps,
yes,
the divine steps. We don't know, Lord, you've given us, many of us, vision, but where are the steps, oh God? And
yes.
So, Lord, we just cry out, release that wisdom.
Yes.
Release that knowledge.
Amen.
Release your divine steps. Oh, right now, Lord God, and we just give you the bones of the vision. So a lot of people have the bones of it, but Lord, put the flesh on it.
Yes.
Lord, flesh it out
flesh
for
it
us.
Out.
Father, we're just children. Ooh. We're just little. We need you, the big Ooh. God, to come. Oh!
Wow.
And so I declare multiplication.
Amen.
And again, I think I gave the word before, but look up. Look up.
Yes.
Not looking down, not looking inward, but look up to him.
Yes.
All sufficient one.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you that faith is growing right now.
Hmm.
Oh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that faith is being built.
Yes.
Because the word has been preached.
Amen.
And men and women, you know, at Oasis are receiving that word. They are not letting it fall through the cracks, but they're receiving it. Oh, bring your Holy Spirit and water your word now in our hearts, Lord. Just put your hand on your heart. Ask the Lord to water that word of faith, to water those instructions from
yes.
the word that Scott gave you. Come and water it now, Lord. Come and write it on my heart.
Amen.
That when I'm weak, I'm strong in Christ. That your strength is perfected in us, Lord.
Mm.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
That, Lord, with all the blocks we go through of, why would you call me to do that? I can't speak, or I can't do that, or I don't know how. But Lord, you always call us to do things way beyond our natural ability.
That's right.
So that you would get the glory.
Amen. Father, thank you for what you're doing right now. And I just break any discouragement off of any of you.
Yes.
Any discouragement that you're facing in your life right now.
Yes.
I just break that off of you. And also, I just feel to take authority right now over self-condemnation.
Yes.
Some of you have been condemning yourself, saying you're no good, you're not a good Christian. You look at all the things you've missed. And the Lord says, stop condemning yourself. And just, I break discouragement and self-condemnation in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it was just one chapter later, not too long later, where Jesus had the same scenario. And he said to the disciples, feed the 4,000 now. And again, they said, we can't do it. You see, they struggled. They just saw it, and yet God was working in their lives. You see, Jesus understands that it's a process. Jesus understands that faith and surrender are a process. And so don't condemn yourselves. Don't beat yourself up. Don't live in discouragement. Just say this: God's at work in me. And you know, you've surrendered something today, and if a week from now or a day from now you find out you've taken it back, what are you going to do? Well, don't condemn yourself. Give it to Jesus again. Yes. It's a process. See, the disciples were learning. When Jesus said to them the second time, you feed them, they didn't know, well, are you sure?
Yes.
It's the same with us. We are learning to follow Jesus. But what do we need to do? We need to speak the truth over ourselves, not the lies of the devil. So when you struggle, when you have a bad day, when you found you've taken back your weakness, or you find it hard to believe Jesus, don't speak negative words. Don't speak condemning words. Don't let discouragement nest in your heart. Speak the word of God to yourself. Say to your heart, God's at work.
Who?
He is changing.
Who?
He will finish the work
yes.
he's begun in my life.
Amen.
I am a man of faith. I am a woman of faith. I am going to live the life that God has called me to live. I am learning. It is getting better, and Jesus is teaching me, and so I come again.
Yes.
And I surrender it to him. I bring it to Jesus, and I say, Jesus, I will step out in faith once more to believe you. That's the Christian life. It's not all or nothing. It is a process of learning to surrender, learning to obey. And as we do it, it goes deeper. We get more of the anointing, more of the multiplying power.
Yes.
And we have faithful in little, faithful in much,
yes.
and faithful in more. That's the Christian life. So just say, I will not wear the coat of discouragement. I will not go down the road of self-condemnation. I'm going to speak the word of God to myself, and I'm going to grow in my faith. And God is going to do amazing things in me and through me. No matter how much of my life is behind me or how much of my life is before me, I will live the full call of God, because
yes.
he can multiply the time. He can multiply the effort. He can multiply events for the glory of his name. That is the Christian life. Why? Because God wants the glory. In all of our failings and all of our weakness and all of our attempts, he's going to do it. Because people will look at us and say, that's impossible. And we can say, you're right for us, but not for God. Mm-hmm. That's the Christian life. And that is your life. Mm-hmm. And I am believing that each and every one of you are going to live the full life that God has called you to live, as you continue to surrender, continue to obey, and continue to allow the Spirit to do the impossible of multiplication in you, so you possess it, and then through you. You see, the disciples had enough food to eat themselves, didn't they? They possessed a lunch. They possessed a meal.
Wow.
But Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give.
Mm-hmm.
And he will multiply it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good news. And so I pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes.
that the power of the Holy Spirit would fill you
mm-hmm.
again right now.
Mm-hmm.
I pray, Lord, that you would come in healing power,
yes.
in restoring power, in a breaker
yes.
anointing.
Show.
Come
yes,
into
Lord.
Our lives
pour out,
to
Lord.
Break all the powers of the kingdom of darkness in the mighty
pour
name
out,
of the Lord.
Lord
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I declare that no weapon formed against
yes.
us will prosper.
Oof. Pour your power out, Lord.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Do what we can't, oh God, I pray today. Do what we can't
mm-hmm.
in the very depths of our lives
mm-hmm.
for the glory of your name.
Yes.
Pour it out, Lord, like Pentecost upon us.
the great almighty sufficiency of our Heavenly Father, filling us today by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
More, Lord. Mm-hmm. So today and tomorrow and every day, surrender, speak over yourself the truth, encourage yourself, encourage those around you, and just say, Lord, show me what it is, and I will step out in faith and believe you for the impossible. Lord Jesus, we thank you now for all you've done. We thank you for your holy word. Thank you that your word has power. Thank you that the Spirit came at Pentecost and never left the earth. But the Spirit of Christ remains in us. And we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So Lord, we ask today, multiply us. Use us for your glory. We thank you now. In Jesus' mighty name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Yes. Do you have something you want to say?
Yes, I just want to pray if there are a couple people who have just lately been struggling with a bit of either discouragement or depression. You know, that can be a real spirit that can attack. I just want to pray for those people. Can you just maybe put your hand up if that's you? Yeah, just two people, if there's any other people who have been struggling like that.
Or self-condemnation. Discouragement, depression, or self-condemnation, because often they go together.
Yeah, so I felt that's good. Yeah, I felt like when I was declaring the word look up and not look down, that word was for you guys. And so, Lord, can we just stretch a hand out to those ones who put up their hands? Oh. So, Lord, we just lift those dear ones. How? We lift those dear ones up now. And, Lord, you are the glory and the lifter of their head.
Hallelujah.
And I declare that now. How? That in your weakness of maybe even your tendency to be discouraged or down or depressed, but the Lord is strong.
Amen.
So just yield that tendency you have, and Lord, come and be a tower of strength.
Hallelujah.
And I rebuke depression, discouragement, and even introspection and condemnation. We rebuke those attacks if that's applicable, and I bind that and I cancel your power.
Yes.
Right off the soul, all claws out of the soul now. In Jesus' name, go to where Jesus commands you. And Lord, we speak purpose.
Amen.
We kind of agree with that one word.
Purpose.
We declare purpose.
God's purpose.
Purpose and power filling those dear ones who put up their hands.
Amen.
And anyone else who maybe didn't want to put up their hand, but thank you,
Jesus,
Father, that you are on the move. And the other thing I sensed was I saw a brief vision of little trees, almost little saplings like this, and they were bowed over, you know, almost breaking. But you had a heart for those little saplings. So it might be youth ministry, I don't know. You know, but just people who are debilitated, or maybe just youth that are oppressed, and that you have, you know, they were like this, and you have a heart to come alongside and, you know, just see them stand upright in the Lord. Mm. And so I just wondered, does that apply to anybody here, that you have a heart for that ministry?
Thank you, Lord.
So, can I just what's your name there? Sorry, is it Adrian or?
Oh, Marcus.
Marcus, okay.
Marcus, okay.
Let's stretch a hand out to Marcus.
And is there anyone else that has...
Anyone else?
Okay, just want to really pray for Marcus. We want to pray for you, Marcus.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, Father, thank you that you put that compassion.
Yes.
Oh, there's a compassion in your heart, Marcus, and sometimes you might even be a bit afraid of it because you think it's going to be overwhelming. But Beloved, when you bring that under the lordship of Christ, he will protect that gift.
Amen.
And he will only use that gift when he wants to. So it's not using it 24/7 because you have to have time to rest as well. But we say, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Father, just prepare Marcus, Lord God, and give him the wisdom on how to come alongside these young people or people who are debilitated, that he would just lift up their hands, Lord God.
Yes.
And we just lift up those young people, Lord, that you would prepare their hearts.
Amen.
To receive this.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I just got another word for someone else, and that is, it's a picture of, you know, diamonds, but they have dirt all over the diamonds. Mm-hmm. And so it's a bit of a different picture than for Marcus, but it's like a restoration ministry, mm-hmm. Kind of like a healing rest. So is there someone who... the Lord has really put that on your heart, a healing or restoration type of ministry.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's just wait for a moment. Just please put your hand up if that's you.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Okay. So there are about five people or four people.
Okay. Yeah. Let's stretch our hands out. Just receive from Jesus now as we pray.
Thank you.
Is right with you right now.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are thanking you for highlighting your heart that you have given to these dear ones.
Yes.
That restoration ministry where they see a diamond in the rough, where they see a diamond that has dirt on it.
Yes.
And they're going to take the time to wipe the dirt off and restoration and healing. So Lord, stir up that anointing. Maybe one or two of you might have even thought, well, I got that word 20 years ago, or I don't know. You know, maybe it's not, wasn't really for me, but actually I think at least one of the four or five people that God is reawakening.
Yes, Lord.
Oh! And I just sense his jealousy over him reawakening that dream.
Yes.
And so, Father, thank you that you are the one that gives the faith for it. We just throw off all discouragement and we say, yes.
Yes.
And Lord, I just bless the faith gift.
Amen.
You know, every time God calls us to do something impossible, Scott and I bring it back to God and say, we can't. You have to give us the faith gift for this. And we're we're very dramatic about it. You know what I mean? Like precise, urgent. It's an urgent prayer. And so we just ask, let's agree. We ask for the faith.
Amen.
For each one who has that ministry, who is going to be launching into that.
Yes.
That Lord, bring that faith. Oh, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would help us.
Yes.
To start moving in it now.
Yeah.
Lord, that's what you said to the disciples. Lord, now take the bread and begin to feed the people.
Wow.
So, Father, I pray if there's anyone around us, any friend, any family member that need the restoring power of Jesus, maybe a discouraged believer that we know or someone, Father, I pray that we would take the bread of Jesus and begin to feed them, Lord.
Wow.
Feed them with the bread of life.
Yes.
Even in our weakness, even if we're still struggling.
Yeah.
Remember, it's not being healed up is not one of the prerequisites to give it away. The disciples were not healed up.
Right.
They were just called to go and feed. So it's a process, remember, like the call is a process. So you start with what you have and you begin to do it with those around you, in your family, your friendships, whoever it is. Just begin to pray for them and begin to believe that you can give away Jesus. You can give away the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And you can restore a life, not because you're strong, but because he is strong. So I want to say to you, begin the forward momentum now.
That's right.
Don't wait. Even if it's, okay, God, I don't meet up with this person. Well, then pray for them when they're not there, or pray for them online, something. Begin the process and you will see God multiply you. You will see him use you in extraordinary ways.
Yeah, and also I believe that I just have a strong sense that the Lord has been really awakening vision in many of you, like through the word and through the words as well that I gave and that Scott gave. And I just have such an excitement in my heart as I'm witnessing what's happening in many of you.
Amen.
And so I want to encourage you, you know, after we kind of all sign out from Zoom, please open your journals or open your phone and record, like record it in your journals, what the Lord has been saying to you. Don't lose it, you know?
That's right.
'Cause the enemy just wants you to have kind of a high and then you've lost what God is speaking. And so please, I just want to encourage you, write it in your journal and write, you know, questions you have to ask the Lord, you know, so you can explore what God is saying to you. Or in your phone, you can record it that way and then review it.
Amen.
You know, with a key friend of yours or spouse or with the pastors.
And you don't have to wait for God to initiate per se. And I'll tell you what I mean by that is it was the disciples that came to Jesus and said, look at Jesus, all the people, they're hungry. So they saw the need and they brought the need to Jesus. You can do the same thing. If you see a need around you and someone that you know or love, or maybe even people you don't know, you can bring it to Jesus and say, Jesus, look at this need.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing? What do you want to do? And begin to listen. By faith, listen. Again, please hear me. Don't listen through your lack or your inability. Listen through ears of faith and see with eyes of faith. And God will show you how you can be involved to give Jesus away to this particular need. So, Father, we are truly grateful and truly thankful for all that you're doing today.
Yes, Lord,
start
you.
Something within us,
thank
we ask.
Thank you, Father.
Start something new, new faith, a new surrendered life,
yes,
a new hunger. Lord, we possess so much from you and we want to give it away. We want you to multiply it,
yes,
even in our weakness, Lord.
Amen.
That we can be used for the glory of God. Thank you,
multiply.
Father, that as long as we come to you, as long as we surrender, as long as we give you our inability, nothing can hold us back. And we are truly grateful for this. And we give you thanks today,
yes,
in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I just wanted to remind you about our course, Freedom Encounter. We're going to be going deeper. And so if you want to register, it starts a week tomorrow, June 8th. It'll be 8 o'clock at night, UK time. We're going to send the Zoom link out. But I encourage you to come.
Yeah.
And I encourage you to invite your friends, because it is going to be a transformational time. So this week, even today, if the Lord is calling you to come, send us an email. If you don't have the advertisement, say to Graham, come on, Graham, send me the advertisement. I need it because I believe God is calling me to go. So thanks again for having us. We look forward to seeing many of you, or maybe all of you, next Monday. And let's believe God for extraordinary things. So
thank you
again, Graham and Tamsin. Thank you for inviting us. We had an amazing time with you.